Right.
Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for today, and thank you for the blessing of teaching and hearing your word. I pray in Jesus' name for the grace that enables us to teach, and also the grace that helps us to understand and receive the things we are taught, in the name of Jesus. Open our eyes to behold wondrous things out of your law, and may you supply the Spirit this morning, in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Hallelujah. I just asked for you and you're here. Amen. Okay. Now, last week I began to share with you a very important subject, and that was the unrighteousness of forgetfulness. Amen. Amen. The unrighteousness of those who forget. Amen. And we began to understand that God does not want us to forget. Amen. Amen. And forgetfulness is a type of spiritual amnesia. Amen. Do you know what amnesia is? Amnesia is when people forget like a large block of sometimes interrelated memories. Do you get it? You forget, you know, a lot of things that are related to, you know, especially occurs when people have a head injury or something of the sort, right? Now, it looks like there is a spiritual equivalent of that. Hallelujah. That a spiritual disease that happens to many Christians and which does not work well for us. Hallelujah. Right, so our key scripture was Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 10. Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 10. And it says that God is not unrighteous to forget. Amen. So give us Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 10. And then we will continue from there. Amen. Amen. Right, why don't you read with me? Everybody read on the screen. Let's read the verse. Read it out loud. Okay, 1, 2, 3, go. For God is not unrighteous to forget your work of love and labor of love, which ye have showed toward his name, in that ye have ministered to the saints and do minister. Let's read it again. For God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love, which ye have showed toward his name, in that ye have ministered to the saints and do minister. For the last time, please. 1, 2, 3, go. For God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love, which ye have showed toward his name, in that ye have ministered to the saints and do minister. Hallelujah. Right. So from this verse, we have laid a very solid foundation to understand, first of all, that forgetfulness is unrighteousness. Amen. That forgetting is unrighteousness, you know. And when we talk about forgetting, as I said to you, we're not just talking about, you know, something you don't remember, just a trivial thing you don't remember. But we're talking about something a little deeper than that. We're talking about a refusal to acknowledge. Do you understand? Many times a deliberate refusal to acknowledge or to accord the necessary recognition to something that someone has done for you, or something that someone has meant to you, or someone who God has used to be a blessing to you, and yet you deliberately refuse to acknowledge it and refuse to recognize it, especially when times have changed for you. Hallelujah. When you can see that he's saying that God is not unrighteous to forget your work. Do you understand? So the unrighteousness is occurring because it is somebody's work. Do you understand? And someone's labor, which they did out of love. Are you getting it? Someone's work, it took an effort on someone's part. And someone's labor means it cost them something. Do you get it? And labor of love means they did it not because you deserved it, not because you were special, but because they loved you. Hallelujah. Every one of us can identify such elements in our lives. We can identify, and if we choose to, we can recognize that we are all the products of other people's work and labor of love. Is it not true? Yeah. And he says that which ye have showed toward his name, in that ye have ministered. You know, it means you have served, you have done something for someone, and he says you have ministered to the saints and do minister. And that is why it is unrighteous. Hallelujah. It cost someone something. Someone made an effort. Someone helped you. And he says that if you forget it, or if you choose not to recognize or acknowledge it, it is a work of unrighteousness. Hallelujah. So I started giving you some points. Number one, we said, people who forget are unrighteous. Do you have that? All right. So let's go from there and quickly give me the ones I gave to you last week. Number one is what? People who forget. Read it with me. One, two, three, go. People who forget are unrighteous. Hallelujah. Number two, still reading from your notes. Number two is what? People. And they do not have the nature of God, isn't it? Because God is not unrighteous to forget. So if you forget, then you are not acting like God, isn't it? It means you do not have the nature of God. Hallelujah. The nature of God is not to forget people. Hallelujah. That is why you should never get tired of serving the Lord, because when you do things for God, He does not forget. Hallelujah. God does not forget. When He says, you have ministered to the saints and do minister. Do you understand? God will not forget you when you minister to the saints, when you serve the saints, the saints are the people of God. The saints are not the people who've done no wrong. The saints are not perfect people. Hallelujah. It's amazing that the people that God calls us to serve are not perfect people. Hallelujah. And yet we go on, or are expected to go on, to serve them. And God says that He will not forget you when you minister to the saints. Hallelujah. That's why I have no intention of stopping this work. Amen. That I'm going to continue to preach. Amen. Because God is not unrighteous to forget. God will not forget my ministry to the saints. Amen. And especially if I continue. So there are two things here. God is not forgetting what you have done and what you are doing. Do you see what I'm saying? God is not going to forget that you have ministered to the saints in the past and do minister in the present. Hallelujah. So you must continue. Tell your neighbor you must continue. Hallelujah. Sometimes it may not feel good. Sometimes, you know, even the people you serve may not seem to appreciate your effort. You see, they may not appreciate your work and your labor of love. They may not appreciate the effort, and they may not appreciate the cost. But God is the one you're serving. Hallelujah. The Bible says the Lord does not see as man sees. Do you understand? Man is limited in his vision and what he can see. But God sees even what is in your heart. If God can see what is in your heart, how can He not see what is outside? Do you see what I'm saying? If God can see what is in your heart, how can He not see what is outside? You know, when I was going through the airport this morning, I saw the x-ray thing, and just before you go through You know the security thing I'm talking about. And they have posted some photographs of what the security people see. Have you seen that thing before? You shouldn't look at it. You'll not be happy. But you know, I found out you can actually request a pat down instead of going through that machine. You know, I didn't know that. But a lady just came, you know, she was right in front of me. And then she asked the guy, can I get a pat down instead? You know, and they called the lady to come and sort her out. I said, oh, I see. That's good. But as I looked at the thing they are looking at, I said, wow, we might as well just take off our clothes when we come here. Or arrive at the airport naked. When you go through security, you dress up. You know, you go through the place and then you go to a dressing room and then they sort you out. Hallelujah. But you can see that the difference between, because as you are standing there as a human being with your human eye, what you see is very different from what the man who is looking through the machine can see. He can see a lot more. Do you understand? He can see the structure, he can see the frame, you know, and it's a very funny picture. Maybe one day I'll take a photo of it, if they'll let me, you know. Right, but he can see a lot more, do you understand? Because his eyes are not as man sees, do you understand? Through the help of the machine, he's able to see a lot more. So God is also able to see a lot more. Do you understand? People may not see what it costs you to do something. Do you understand? People may not see what it costs you to be something to them. Hallelujah. See, and that is why sometimes people don't even say thank you. And you should not blame them. Because they are very limited in what they can see. Do you understand? They cannot see everything. They just see what you did. But they cannot see what it cost you to do what you did. Do you understand? And sometimes even what you did, they may not accept. But they may not know what it cost you to be even this unacceptable version of you. Are you understanding what I'm saying? They do not know what it cost you. That is why you must learn to look up to God, not to man. Are you hearing what I'm saying? God is the one who will not forget. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 8. We're not going to lose this verse. I'm just taking you on a small side journey and we'll come right back. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 8. The scripture says, look at this. Knowing this, it says, knowing that whatsoever, can you read it with me please, everybody? 1, 2, 3, go. Knowing that whatsoever good thing any man doeth, the same shall he receive of who? Of who? Of the Lord. Do you understand? Not of the person he did it for. Hallelujah. So many times we are very disappointed because the people we did it for don't seem to appreciate it. Do you understand? But their appreciation level is severely limited because they cannot see like the security man can see. Do you understand? The security man, he's looking right through you. The person outside is just seeing your jeans and is just checking to see if once he can't see anything in your pocket, he's okay. But not the machine. You know, I had a piece of gum in my pocket like that. Just one piece, you know, that remaining from a pack I had, just one small piece like that, and I had it in my pocket. And then, you know, when you go through the security, the guy has something in his ear, and the guy who is actually seeing you, you can't see him. I think it's less offensive when you can't see who is seeing you. What do you think? Yeah, so when someone is spying on you and you don't know, it's not so offensive. Yeah, it's painful when you see who has seen you. Right. So they've put the guys who are seeing you in some room somewhere. So you can't see them. But they have a way of talking to the guy who is seeing you, who can't see what they have seen. So the guy inside, he told the guy that I have something on the right side of my pocket right here. And so he tells him, and then the guy walks up to me and he asks me, what is in your right pocket? Do you understand? But the question he's asking me can only be asked by someone who has seen beyond what everybody else. Even he was with me, but he didn't know there was anything in my right pocket. But the one who is behind the scenes has seen something that other people cannot see. Are you following my illustration? You people have to believe in God and believe that, look, when humans don't acknowledge, God has marked it. I tell you, the guy said, I'd like to see what is in your pocket. So even I had forgotten that I had something in my pocket. So I put my hand in. I don't have anything in my pocket. Oh, then when I put my hand in there, I felt this little thing. I took it. Oh, this is gum. He said he would like to see it. So why do you want me to open this little gum for you? So he said, I should come with him. He wants to, you know, swipe my hands. You know, if you have any type of bomb things, the residue, they say the residue, you cannot get rid of it. So he went to, just because of my small piece, you know, he went to swipe my hands and put it in the machine. And then the machine, I read it, the machine said, no alarm. I said, shame on you. So when I left him, I just opened the gum and I chewed it. And just let me just chew my gum and let this gum stop giving me problems. Hallelujah. But God can see it when people cannot see it. God can see it. So you must not stop doing good. Do you understand? Because the scripture says, look, whatsoever good thing any man doeth. Did you get that? Whatsoever, if it is good and you did it, God has seen it. Do you understand? And the Bible says, he shall, the same good thing that you did, the same good thing that you did, you shall receive of the Lord, whoever you are. Are you getting what I'm saying? So no matter what the situation is, and no matter what your circumstances are, you must always try to do something good. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Because God is seeing it. Monique, adieu et voila. God is seeing it. Amen? And God will not forget it. The Bible says God is not unrighteous to forget. He would not forget it. He will not forget it. He will not forget it. Do you understand? Which means that sometimes even his response to it may be delayed, but it's not forgotten. Are you getting it? Because sometimes when you need it, or the time that you need it, it's not yet here. Do you get it? The relevance, or if God was to pay you back right now, it won't even mean anything to you because you don't need it. When you spend time encouraging somebody while you are encouraged, you don't need encouragement at that time. But your day for encouragement is also coming. There will be a day when you also need to be encouraged seriously. Someone is trying to do something and they need your help. Do you understand? And you are able to help, but you don't want to help. No. If you help them at this time, another time you will also have an opportunity to be helped. Can I have an amen? You will also be doing something. Do you understand? You will also be doing something at another time. And you are going to find out that God is also going to send people to help you. Can I have an amen? Amen. So don't stop doing good. Amen. Tell your neighbor, do not stop being good. And do not stop doing good. Hallelujah. Because God is not what? Unrighteous to forget. Do you understand? Yeah. No, God is not unrighteous to forget. You know? Let me just show you a little cute little verse here, and then we just go on. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. All right. It is right here. Second Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 14. I'm just taking you on a small side journey before I come back. Amen. Amen. He says, but by chapter 8 and verse 14, you see, he says, but by an equality. But by an equality. You see, if you read verse 13, he says, I mean not that other men be eased and you be burdened. Do you understand? Now, this is how it feels when sometimes you're helping someone, or when someone sort of calls on you or is drawing on you to help them. It looks like they are being eased while you are being burdened. Do you understand? And he's saying that, no, I do not mean, this is not the intention at all. I do not mean that other men be eased while you are burdened. That's not the goal. Do you get it? But rather, verse 14, he says, rather, I want to establish equality. He says, but by an equality. Do you understand? So that now at this time, say now at this time. Now. Right. He says, now at this time, your abundance. Do you understand? Because you are not in need now. You are not discouraged now. You don't need any help right now. So now at this time, your abundance may be a supply for their want. Do you understand? That their abundance, which is also later, may be a supply for your want, which is not yet here. Are you getting it? So that there may be what? Equality. Hallelujah. So you may not be in need today, but that's not how it's going to be forever. You may be up today, but it's not going to be like that forever. You may be smiling today, but you will not be smiling forever. It's just the way life is. There will surely come a day when you also will be down there. That is why when God raises you up, you must be careful to do good. Do you understand? You must be careful to be a blessing to people when God raises you up. Because a time is going to come when another person who is down now, the Bible says he is also going to have abundance. Can you believe it that these people over here, he says, their want. Can you see that it's immediately followed by their abundance? You put a name here. Put a name Mary here. And say Mary's want. Do you understand? Then move it on and put that same name here, Mary's abundance. So Mary's want is immediately followed by Mary's abundance. And the difference is just a matter of time. Can I have an amen? Amen. So do not forget people, amen? And do not forget to do good. You must always try to do your best when you have the opportunity. Say amen. Amen. Right. So next one, people who forget, what is number three? 1, 2, 3, go. People who forget are what? They are cursed to wither, isn't it? People who forget are cursed to wither. And we read that scripture that says that you will wither if you forget, isn't it? It says, does the papyrus shoot up without mire? Does the reed grass grow without water? Whilst it is yet in his greenness and not cut down, it withereth before any other herb. Hallelujah. So are the paths of all that forget God. Say amen. Amen. Number four, what do you have? Are you writing the notes? Do you write the notes? Okay, give me number four. What's number four? Unrighteous people are not conscious of the dangers of forgetting, isn't it? They are not conscious of the dangers of forgetting. David said that, if I do not remember thee, let my tongue cleave to the roof of my mouth. That is someone who was very conscious of the dangers of forgetting, isn't it? Right. Number five is what? Unrighteous people do what? When they are rich and are full. Wow. Unrighteous people forget God when they are rich and when they are full. Wow. When God has blessed them, then they become they forget God. Hallelujah. All right. Do you have a number six?
No.
You don't. All right. So let's continue from there. Number six says that unrighteous people who forget God are often proud. Yeah. Unrighteous people who forget God are often what? Proud. They are often proud. Unrighteous people who forget God, they are often proud. Hallelujah. Now, the verse to read is the same one that we were reading. Deuteronomy chapter 8 and verse 12. Deuteronomy chapter 8 and verse 12. Deuteronomy chapter 8 verse 12 to 14. He says, lest when thou hast eaten, when you have eaten and you are full, and has built goodly houses and dwelt therein. Do you see? And when thy herds and thy flocks multiply, and thy silver and thy gold is multiplied, isn't it? Can you see there's a lot of blessing, isn't it? And all that thou hast on every side is multiplied. Then thy heart be lifted up, isn't it? It says the effect of the prosperity and blessing is that it causes a lifting up of a person's heart. Now that is what we call pride. Hallelujah. A lifting up of the person's heart. Your heart becomes lifted up. Hallelujah. So one day I heard someone saying that he doesn't trust poor people. And I was wondering, why would you make such a statement? But he said, no, I don't trust poor people. Because you never know what they can become when they prosper. That poverty has a way of keeping you cool. Is it not true? Yeah. Have you not noticed how when you go into a meeting and they're discussing something, and especially when it involves money, you don't seem to be able to contribute much. You just keep quiet. You know, sometimes when they're having family meetings and deciding who is going to do what, you know, who's going to do what, you see that those who cannot handle the thing, they just keep cool. Any date you choose. Say, any date you choose. Yeah. One brother, he lost a relative, and he was going to go from here to I think they were going to bury him in the relative in Ghana. And he was going to go from here to the funeral. And I asked him, so what date is the funeral? He said, the family just sent me a message, any date I choose. So I was just wondering. I said, ah, but are you that important? And this guy said, oh, the whole funeral is on me. So it's like whenever you bring the money to come and pay for it, any date you choose, we're just ready. Hallelujah. So generally speaking, when people don't have, they become cool. But there is a certain danger. So that person was trying to say that you never know what a person is until the person has experienced blessing. Do you understand? And has remained humble. Then you know that the person is truly humble. Amen. But while the person is poor, you don't know what wealth and blessing would do to him. Hallelujah. So he says, then your heart be lifted up and you forget the Lord. So when people's hearts are lifted up, when pride sets in, then the immediate effect is that they forget the Lord. You get it? Which brought them from out of the land of Egypt, from the house of bondage. And then verse 15. In fact, jump to verse 17. Jump to verse 17. He says, then you say in your heart, because the heart is lifted up, isn't it? So the heart has started to talk. Do you get it? He says, you say in your heart that my power and the might of my hand. Is it not amazing how we talk? He says, my power and the might of my heart, the might of my hand has gotten me this wealth. You have forgotten. You have forgotten. He says, when everything you have has multiplied. This is a danger that we all need to beware of. Hallelujah. Now, when everything you have has multiplied. And last week I was sharing with you some of the things that can multiply. Even what to do. You know, the things to do can multiply. Many times when you start out life, like you move to a new place, there's even nothing to do. Do you understand? There's nothing to do. I know people who wake up in the morning and there's nothing to do. They just stay, walk from one end of the house to the other end of the house, you know, find some clothing there, and then they just fold it, and then they find, it's not like they love folding clothes. There's just nothing to do. Yeah, there's just nothing to do. Nothing to do. They'll go outside, they'll sweep a little bit, they'll wash the car, they'll arrange things in the garage, they'll go upstairs, they'll make the bed, they'll lay on the bed, they'll turn on the television, they'll run from channel 1 to channel 255 or 590, 600 channels on the television, including Spanish channels, and they don't speak Spanish. And they'll just be running through the thing because there's nothing to do. They don't have anything to do. But there comes a time when the Lord begins to bless you. So it's a blessing to have something to do. It's a blessing to be busy. I tell you, every time I go to a place, you know, I get lots of calls. Sometimes when I'm talking to some of the pastors and so on, when are you going to come here? When are you going to come here? And I just say to myself, it's a blessing to even have places to preach. Do you understand what I'm saying? That if I can just arrive in a place and by the grace of God, I mean, I can decide I want to preach here or here or here or here or here. Or I'm not preaching at all. That is a blessing. It is a blessing. It is a real blessing to have things to do. Do you understand? It's a blessing to have places to go. It's a blessing to be able to go to places, even to have friends to visit. I tell you, at Thanksgiving time, there are people who get stuck in their homes and they just sit there and there's nowhere to go. There's nobody even inviting you. That's why if you know someone on Thanksgiving Day, you must even find out, even in the church, you must find out from the people what's happening to you at Thanksgiving. Where are you going on Thanksgiving Day? And invite somebody to your house if they don't have anywhere to go. Because it's a very painful thing and a very painful place to be. To wake up and you don't have, you know, you see people are going here, this one is going there, this one is going there. But you don't have anywhere to go. You know, same old, same old. Whole wheat bread that you just crush together and you just chew it. That is all you do. Yeah. Yeah, or rice and shit of Akwesi. That's look, I went to visit Akwesi one day. I'd never seen so much shit in my life. Do you know shit of the Ghanaian thing sauce? I've never seen so much. It comes in there's a certain, you see the ice cream tub, the gallon, 1 gallon tub. It comes in something like that. Yeah. Like the one they use for paint. See, I was just trying not to say paint. And I went for ice cream, but you have brought the paint. Makes the shit up have a toxic flavor. You get it? But that's all this man eats. So his possessions were rice cooker and then the shito. And the shito, they have some that they have different seasons. So some frozen hard and then some has been thawed. And then the guy is just living on that and just flowing. But all that is about to change in the name of Jesus. You're going to see fried chicken. You know, yeah. That you see the chicken that they eat in the middle of the frying. You get it? Because you have to have special powers to be able to walk into a kitchen while the thing is being fried to taste one or two
You know, while the frying is still going on. You get it? And then Gloria will say, oh, I don't like that, please. I could say, stop it. You're going to see all of that. You see, so now what you eat is going to multiply. From rice and shito, you are now going to go into flavors. You get it? And curries and sauces. You get it? And salads. Things that your body and system have lacked for years. Pray that they don't reject it. Gloria will make food for you and then your system is just system shut down. Can't handle these things. Hallelujah. When everything is multiplied, then you start to point arrows and start to point yourself in the direction of your might and your skills and your intelligence and your smartness. And you start to say, I'm just like that. You know, I'm just like that. I'm just smart like that. You know, it's my kind of thing. You know, these things naturally happen to me. Or what did you expect? What did you think? It's me we are talking about. People have all kinds of things they say, which they say in their heart. Do you understand? They say in their heart, I've never failed before. I've never failed before. I know I'm clever. One day I was speaking to someone, he actually told me, I know. He said, I was so shocked at my score because I know I'm clever. Yeah. He said, I know I'm clever. My power, which means what I can do, and the might of my hand has gotten me this wealth. Hallelujah. And it's something that people say when they forget God. Hallelujah. When they forget, that's when they talk like that. Hallelujah. So tell your neighbor that you must not forget. Do not allow your heart to be lifted up. Hallelujah. You must not become proud. The Bible says pride goes before a fall. Hallelujah. Have you seen that verse before? Proverbs chapter 16 and verse 18. Proverbs chapter 16 and verse Proverbs chapter 16 and verse 18. Have you seen that verse? Let's read it. 1, 2, 3, go. Pride goeth before destruction, and an haughty spirit before what? A fall. Isn't it? Pride goeth before what? Destruction. And an haughty spirit before a fall. Hallelujah. It means when you see pride moving, the next thing that is coming is what? Destruction. It means if you are at a traffic light and the first car is called pride, what's the next car? Who's driving the next one? Destruction. Do you understand? It means when you see someone who is haughty, haughty spirit is somebody who is proud. Do you understand? It says all such people will fall. Hallelujah. But I love this other verse here, 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 6. This one is even talking about leaders. Do you see? It says, when you are choosing leaders, 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 6. It says, when you are choosing leaders, you are making leaders in the church, you are appointing pastors, you are appointing bishops. He says, you must not choose a novice. Do you understand? Do not choose a novice. Because what will happen to a novice? Being what? Lifted up with what? Pride. He will fall into the condemnation of the devil. Can you see that as pride comes in and there's a lifting up of a person, then the next thing that happens to the person is that he falls into the condemnation of the devil. And says, don't take a novice. A novice is an inexperienced person, someone who is new. Because when you are new, you do not know that things happen. You have not seen a lot of things. And you are inexperienced.
And your inexperience can make you think that it is you. It can make you have a wrong impression and perception of yourself. And that can destroy you. Can I have an amen? That is why if God does not promote you to a certain place, you must not be sad. If God does not lift you up, you must not be sad. Do you understand? Sometimes you need to be humble and be patient and allow yourself to go through the different phases and the different cycles and different experiences and spheres and different things that you go through of life, because they have the effect of transferring you from novice status to an experienced person and then qualifying you for more responsible or more higher responsibility, because you have escaped the danger of being lifted up with pride and falling into the condemnation of the devil. Can I have an amen? Amen. So do not be proud. Amen. Another verse says that God resists the proud. Do you understand? God resists the proud. God pushes against proud people. When a person is proud and they are trying to open a door, God resists it. Have you ever seen a grown-up standing behind a door like this and preventing the kid from coming inside? Do you understand? It's not that the kid cannot find the knob. They found the knob. They are even making the effort to turn it. But what is preventing the door from opening is not that they've missed the door. They found the door. They found the knob. They've got the right keys. But there is a greater person than their power standing behind the door. That's why the door is not opening. Amen. And many doors in life stay shut to proud people, because God has decided to resist them. God has decided to stand behind the door. They are turning the knob and they look at the door again and they think, is this not the right door? It is the right door. And then they check the keys. Is this not the right key? I've got my master's degree. I've got this. I've got that. Why can't I find a job? Many times it's because God himself has positioned himself behind the door. And he said, this door is not opening. It's not opening. Hallelujah. Because our hearts are lifted up and we have become proud. Do you understand? We look down on people. We look down on people who don't have what we have. We look down on people who have not read what we have read. You know, even sometimes in their company, the subjects and of conversation that we raise topics that will eliminate them. They can't contribute to the conversation. You start to talk about high things. You know, you start to talk about how you flew to London and how you stopped over in Paris. And in Paris, you know, there's a place over there at the airport where there's some ice cream. And then the other one will say, yeah, that place. And they even have a perfume store next to it. And then this poor lady who has never been to any place before, you know, she will just be standing there coolly, you know, just waiting for you to finish, you know. You are proud. One of these days, God is going to position himself behind the door. Hey, may God not stand behind any of your doors in the name of Jesus. The Bible says if you humble yourself, God will lift you up. Do you understand? But if you lift yourself up, God will bring you down. So you just choose which position you want. God is moving all people who are down. He's moving them up. All people who are up, he's moving them down. So you just position yourself and you determine where you're going to go. If you raise yourself up, God will have to bring you down. But if you bring yourself down, God will raise you up. Hallelujah. God will raise you up. I see God raising us all up in the name of Jesus. Say amen. Amen. Hallelujah. So that was number what? Number six. Number seven. Unrighteous people do not remember anyone when they become wealthy. Unrighteous people do not become or remember anyone when they become wealthy. Hallelujah. It's one of the products of the pride. I tell you, pride is a very dangerous thing. Pride is a very dangerous thing. Sometimes whole nations, you know, I was reading some part of the Constitution of this country, and you begin to see how even the aim of the people who actually came here to come and form this country, you realize that one of the things that brought them here was they wanted to have freedom to worship God as they wanted to. Do you understand? That's where the Christian foundations of this country came from. Do you understand? That's how come they can even develop a currency and put God on it. In God we trust. The whole nation was founded with God and Christianity. Then that led to a certain prosperity. And then when the prosperity came, a different reason was assigned to it. And that is why in this same country, you have so many evils that have evolved. You get it? And it's not the end. There's more coming. As long as people continue to exalt evil and exalt other things, it's like this is the greatest nation on the earth. That is true, but there's something that caused the greatness. And that something is not just because we have the greatest technology. It's not just because we have the brightest minds. It's not just because we have the best of everything. It's because God has blessed us. A lot of the brightest minds in this country actually come from other places. But with those same bright minds, they have not been able to create greatness in that place. Are you getting what I'm saying? So you realize that it takes more than a bright mind. Otherwise, where that person was before he brought his bright mind here, greatness would have been there. But the greatness is because God has blessed the nation. Are you hearing what I'm saying? And as we turn away from him and start to worship other things and celebrate other things, who would have thought that in a country like this, we would start to say, remove God's name from the schools? And from how did God's name get there in the first place? Doesn't it occur to anybody, how did God's name get there in the first place? It tells you what the founding ideals were. That the people said, let's go to a place where we can make God king. Let's go to a place where God will be our ruler. Let's go to a place where God will guide us. One nation under God. Indivisible. You get it? You think about it. One nation under God. Is that even necessary? Why would you have to say you're one nation under God? But there was a certain emphasis. They wanted to say that this is a place where God is worshipped. We are coming here free from all these oppressors in England, and we are coming to this place. We are coming to worship God like we think he deserves to be worshipped. We're coming to love God. We're going to form a nation that loves God. We're going to put in our pledge or whatever that we are a nation under God. And then we're going to write his name on our money. And then we're going to put him in the courts. It is his principles we're going to use to judge what is right and what is wrong. And we're going to put his name in the schools so that every child that is rising up will know this God. That's how the nation was built. But one by one, godless people have come in and they have removed the things. One by one, somebody gets up and says, why is God's name in the school? You take his name out of the school. Why do they even pray in the school? Take his name out of the place. Why is his name in the court? Take his name. The next thing we're going to hear is, why is his name on the money? And they'll say, take his name out of there. Then the next thing is going to be, why is his name? If he's not in the school, he's not in the court, he's not on the money, what is he doing in the pledge? And that will also go away. Yeah. And I'm very sure it will get there one day. Somebody once said that the country, America, is no longer a Christian nation. Do you see? And when you make such utterances, you are just removing God. And as you remove God, you also remove all his protection and all his grace and everything that has brought the greatness. Today our country is in trillions of debt. We owe countries like China. They make everything for us. Do you understand? And it's not changed by just one political party or one government. No, this is the foundations that are being removed. You get it? And it's not one particular party that can fix it. What needs to be fixed is the foundation. If the foundation be destroyed, the Bible says, what will the righteous do? What right thing can you do if the foundation has been removed? Are you hearing what I'm saying? So pride is a very dangerous thing, and you must beware that it does not happen to you. Say amen. Amen. All right, let me give you a last one, and then we close, which is what... Oh, I actually gave it to you, isn't it? People who do not... Unrighteous people do not remember anyone when they become what? Wealthy. Hallelujah. When people become wealthy, they forget how they got their wealth. You know, they sort of assume that the wealth came to them because they deserved it or because they are smart and that they work very hard. It's common for people to say, look, I work very, very hard to get what I have. Do you understand? Yeah, I work very, very hard to get what I have. But the Bible actually says that God is the one who gives us the power to get wealth. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Look at this verse. We're reading, Pastor Manene, back to the other one. Deuteronomy chapter 8. We were on verse 17. It says, you forget God and you say that your heart is lifted up and you say that my power and my might has gotten me this wealth. Okay? Then the next verse, that's verse 18. Verse 18. He says, but thou shalt... Can we read this together? One, two, three, go. But thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is he. Everybody say it is he. Say it is he. Say it is not me. It is he. Point upwards and say it is he. Say it is he. It is he. Hallelujah. It is not you, it is he that giveth thee power to get wealth. Can I have an amen? Amen? Now, whatever you do to get wealth, the Bible says it is God who gives you the power. Do you understand? Whatever it is you have in your life that causes you or attracts income to your life, the Bible says that power, that ability is given to you by God. It is God who gives you power to get wealth. Don't get confused about this at all as long as you live. Hallelujah. It is God who gives you the relevance to your job. It is God who gives you the favor to stay on the job. It is God who makes people even like you. Do you understand that? It's God who makes people like you. It is God who makes people choose you. It is God who makes people say, there is this person, and there is that one, but I want you. That comes from God. Are you hearing what I'm saying? It comes from God, and we must never be confused by that. We must never, never be double-minded about that at all. He says, you must remember, a conscious effort, you must remember. Do you understand? This remember here is a verb. It's a doing word. It's an action word. You have to do it. You have to say, I must remember that it is God who gives me the power to get wealth. Hallelujah. But when people are unrighteous, they assign the power to get wealth to other things. They say, it's my education that's giving me the power to get wealth. See, when you think like that, you drive God into a place where he has to show you a version of yourself that you are not familiar with. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Yeah. But often God likes to show it to you first. God likes to show you. That is why often a period of blessing and success is preceded by a period of want and lack and failure. Do you understand? Even these people, God took them. Can you back up please to verse 11 or so, where God says he took them through dry places and he made them hungry and so on. Just give me that verse. Let me just use that to complete this. No, it's not this one. Well, before this, try verse 6, let's see. Thou shalt keep the commandments of the Lord and walk in his ways to fear him. And then what? For the Lord thy God bringeth thee. Let me just get it for you. What verse is it? He says, remember how he suffered thee to hunger. Deuteronomy chapter 8. Yeah, verse 2. He says, thou shalt remember all the way, look at it, all the way which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness to humble thee. Do you get it? And to prove thee to know what was in thy heart, whether thou would serve or keep his commandments or no. Then verse 3, he said, and he humbled thee and suffered thee to hunger. Do you get it? So some hardship is actually permitted by God. He suffered you to hunger, and he fed thee with manna which thou knewest not, and which thy fathers did not know, that he might make thee to know that man doth not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God doth man live. Do you understand? In other words, God wanted to turn their attention to him. Do you understand? And before these people would experience blessing, God allowed them to experience hunger and starvation and difficult times. God allowed them to attend a couple of interviews and be bounced. Do you understand? So they can save it. Do you get it? So sometimes when you go to an interview and you are not hired, you are supposed to step out of the place and hit saved. You know, just save the experience. Then you go through another one, and then you are not hired. You are not abandoned by God. But God is trying to build up a memory. Do you understand? God is trying to build up a memory that will save you. Because he's trying to give you something to remember, which is going to cause your heart not to rise up. Do you understand? Because then you would not be a novice. You've seen some things before. Do you understand? And so when you see good, it doesn't turn you the wrong side up. Do you understand? And God is trying to save you from the pride, which will, once the pride arrives, God is going to be forced to resist you. Hallelujah. So that is the reason why many times before people prosper, you see that they go through very, very difficult times. But such people sometimes misinterpret the prosperity. They start to say, look, I've suffered before, huh? Yeah. You don't know what I've seen before. You see, I've suffered before. You people, you just get up and you think one just got here. Yeah, I've suffered before. You get it? So it's my own power, you know. And my own. So when I give you $10, you should know that, look, it's something. You get it? So, wealthy people can easily forget. And so God wants us to remember, look, that it is my power that has caused you to come into wealth. Every time you get a paycheck, you should know you have experienced his power. His power has allowed you to get wealth, to get money, to get something. Do you understand? It's when you accumulate your resources that it turns to wealth. You get it? So wealth is basically pieces of prosperity, pieces of blessing that have been put together to form what we call wealth. Do you understand? And God is the one who gives you the power. If God does not give you the power, I tell you, you'll be poor and poor and poor and poor. Hallelujah. You will not realize that you may even be working and earning money, but you will not have anything to show for it. That is a very dangerous place to be. I read a verse in the Bible the other day where God was showing people that, look, you people, I removed something from you. And when I did, let me show you that verse and we close. Okay, last verse for today. Tell your neighbor, last verse. Yeah. What did they say? Is it okay? Ask the person, does he have your permission to show you a last verse? What did they say? Hey. All right. Now, Have you ever read from the book of Haggai? Okay, so today is your first day, Haggai. When you open it, clap for yourself that you have finally reached Haggai. Yeah. Haggai chapter 1. It means you have almost finished reading the whole of the Old Testament. So it means that we have really come very far in this church. Okay. Now we're reading Haggai. You should congratulate yourself. Now, Haggai chapter 1. Okay. Haggai chapter 1 and verse 5. He says, "Now therefore, thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways." It's like, sit down and think a little bit. He says, "You have sown much and bring in little." Can you see that? "And you eat and you do not have enough." Isn't it? Then he says, "You drink, but you are not filled with drink. And ye clothe you, but there is none warm." Means you put on your winter jacket and you are still cold. Hey, but this is the one that got me. He says, "And he that earneth wages." Do you get it? "Earneth wages to put it in a bag with holes." Now, this is not unemployment. Do you understand that? There is no unemployment issue here because you can't earn wages without a job. So having a job is not all. Are you getting it? Having a job is not all. "He that earneth wages to put it into a bag full of holes." That's why, this is where God's power, this is where you need God's power. Do you get it? One expression of the power is that he gives you the ability to earn the wage. Do you understand? But now, even for the wages to accumulate into wealth, that one is another power. Are you getting it? Yeah. Many of us have holes in our pockets, and holes in our bank accounts, and holes in our purses. We earn wages. No amount of money that is paid to you is making you wealthy. So sometimes you see people, they have the best jobs, but they are poor. They earn a lot of money, but they are poor. They don't have anything to show for it. They've earned thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars for so many years, but they do not have anything because something is happening to their money. Do you understand? They try to find a witch doctor to see if there is a problem and if there's something they can do to stop it. But there is a power you are missing here, in spite of having a job. That power is the power to get wealth. Hallelujah. Look at verse 9. Verse 9 is very related to this one. He says that, "Look, you looked for much." You looked for much, and lo, that is to your surprise, it came to little. Can you see that? And then when you brought the little home, you get it. He says, "I did blow upon it." God, don't mess with God. Tell somebody, don't mess with God. If God says you're not going to have it, you're not going to have it. That is why you need to believe it when the scripture says, it is he who gives you power to get wealth. Hallelujah. You need to yield to that power. You need to recognize that power. You should not forget that power. You must acknowledge that power. Actively acknowledge that power. Because look at these people. He said, "You looked for much, and lo, it came to little." So you are already experiencing disappointment here as you are coming home. But you have brought your little home like that. And then when you get home with your little, the Lord comes with the big mouth of the Lord. I mean, if God is blowing on your stuff, man, you're not going to keep anything. Are you hearing what I'm saying? You get it? I'm talking about, this is the same mouth that said, "Let there be, and then there would be." Do you get it? This is the mouth that created the heavens and the earth. I mean, when that mouth focuses on your little wealth and starts to blow on it, You get it? You don't start. A hurricane is going to happen to your wealth. Do you understand?
Yeah.
When God starts to blow on your blessings, when God starts to blow them away, you're going to experience a tornado. See, a twister has entered your pocket and is moving things around and turning every, even the most stable things. Have you seen how the twisters pass through the cities and you see a house that was there is reduced to rubble? There's no house. I mean, you are in your bedroom and before you know, you're outside and you didn't move. You didn't move. You didn't go anywhere. Do you get it? Yeah. Before you know it, your house has relocated. There's a new neighborhood with your house and the address has changed. And where you used to sleep, where your bed was, is now a baseball park. Because a twister moved through your house. When the Lord sends a twister into your life, nothing that you consider stable, nothing that you consider unshakable will not be shaken. Everything will move. Hallelujah. In one day, everything will crumble. In one day, everything will finish. Bishop calls it scrambled eggs. Have you ever made scrambled eggs? Akwesi, can you make scrambled eggs? No, his eggs naturally come scrambled. But I tell you, I give you 3 or 4 weeks, you'll be eating some good eggs. You get it? You'll be eating some. I tell you, Akwesi, I want you to have high hopes and great expectations. Because things are going to get so much better. Give me a high five, brother, in Jesus' name. Oh, wow. What a blessing that is coming the brother's way. Amen. But I tell you that when God blows over your life, everything that you think is unshakable. Some of you have never known illness. You've never been sick before. As long as you've known yourself, you've been healthy. You've never been admitted to a hospital before. You don't know what it is like to live with having to take pills. You know? Somebody showed me, he takes 7 pills in a day. When he puts them in his hand like that, I mean, swallows them, you don't even need to eat breakfast. So many pills you'll be full. There are people like, that's how they live. You get it? You may be healthy today, but tomorrow, something else is going to happen and everything changes. Then you find people who cannot even continue to stay on the job because their health does not permit them. Because the demands of the job, they can't meet it anymore. So you see somebody who was like that, all of a sudden he's there, just from one day to another. Hallelujah. You looked for much and it came to little. And when you brought it home, I did blow upon it. Why? Saith the Lord of hosts, because of my house that is waste, and you run every man to his own house. Because you don't care about my house, and everybody is trying to do his own thing. So ladies and gentlemen, tonight or today, I want to say to you that remember God as he blesses you. Amen. Amen. One of the ways to show God that you remember where the source of your wealth is from is when you pay your tithe. Do you understand? That's where it's a way of saying the Lord, I recognize that without you, I wouldn't have any of this. Do you understand? And I'm careful to bring you the part that belongs to you. Say amen. Well, stand to your feet, everybody, and let's pray and bring the service to a close. Amen. Hallelujah. Just bow your heads with me, everybody, and begin to pray and say, Lord, help me, deliver me from pride. Deliver me from pride, Lord. Deliver me from a haughty spirit. Deliver me from the lifted heart, the heart that is lifted, that disrespects you, that disregards you, a heart that does not recognize that without you I would be nothing, that without you I would not have any of these things, that without you I would not be anywhere, I would not be anyone without you. But it is you who has given me power. That it is you who has given me power. That it is you who has given me power. It is you who has given me the power to get wealth. It is you who has blessed me. Deliver my heart from pride. The Bible says God does not see as man sees. God sees the heart. God sees right through you. God can see right through you. You need to tell him, Lord, anything in me you see that does not please you, I want you to take it away. I want to be truly humble from inside. Not just in the way I look, but in my internal parts, Lord. I want to be truly humble. I want to be one who truly recognizes that God is the source of all my blessing. That God is the source of all my blessing. That God is the source of everything I have. In the name of Jesus. Oh God, we pray this afternoon for your mercy. Forgive us when we've made utterances, when we've made statements, when we've made out implications, oh God, and gestures that suggest that we are the ones who have sustained ourselves and who have brought ourselves to a good place. Oh God, we pray that it will not be necessary. We pray that nothing will happen in any of our lives that will make it necessary for you to teach us that lesson. I pray, Lord, that we will choose the lower place ourselves, that you may exalt us. Exalt your people, Lord. 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 In the name of Jesus. We thank you, Lord, for your blessing. In Jesus' name. Oh, thank you, Lord. Me now. Under your wings. Cover me. Within your mighty hands, when the oceans rise and thunders roar, I will soar with you above the storm. Father, you are king over the flood. I will be still and know you are God. And I will be still and know you are God. Sing it one more time. Hide me now under your wings. Everybody sing.
Hide me now
under your wings.
Under your wings, cover me. Within your mighty hand, when the oceans rise and thunders roar, I will soar with you.
Rise, come on.
When the oceans rise and thunders roar, I will soar with you above the storm. Father, you are king over the flood. I will be
Jesus. Why don't you just place your hands on your chest this afternoon and say, Lord, I commit myself to your care. I commit my heart unto you, Lord. Take my heart, Lord. Deliver it from pride. Deliver me from the lifted heart. May I not be lifted up in my own eyes. May I not be proud, Lord, that I fall into the condemnation of the devil. Help me always to recognize you as my source, to know that it is you, to know that it is you, to know that it is not me. It is you, Lord, who gives me power to get wealth. Thank you, Lord, for your blessing in the name of Jesus. Amen.